Good morning. The Lord be with you. If we could do a few minutes of housekeeping before we begin. On the handout, two very important words need to be added to your handout. If you're kind of like me, I have to look at things and it has to make sense to me. All right, across the top, somewhere on there, I want you to write the word authority. Authority. And the other word is intercession. Intercession. Authority and intercession. The way the handout is designed, the scripture that we're dealing with is on the right side. And just information that we need to know what healing is on the left. Let's give the kitchen crew this morning who prepared this wonderful brunch for all of us thanks. Woo-hoo! I'm always amazed that how people who go into a kitchen and go to work can create such a wonderful meal for so many people and keep it furnished and looking so appetizing. So we are very fortunate to have this every Sunday morning. Yes, we are. And thank you for those who donate. Thank you for that information. That's good news to know. Let us pray. Amazing God, thank you for today. For all the possibilities that you lay before each one of us. For your mercy and grace, which surrounds us, flows in and out of us, towards others. Wonderful God. Open our hearts to receive your word and help us to know the difference between what is yours and what is not. Amazing, wonderful God, thank you for this day. Amen. Let us begin with understanding what Christian healing is and what it is not. Forgive me for reading because I know y'all can all read, but we need to go over this. All right, Christian healing is not magic, nor is it manipulation of God to do what we want. Sometimes people get the idea, if I just pray to God for healing, and then I'm going to be healed exactly like I want. You know, and we have a set prayer, set words, set time, everything that we wanted to have it to do. It's like if you pay at 7:30 every Friday morning, you know that your migraine's going to go away. That's not how it works. What we know is with healing is that for us, it is a surrender. It is a surrendering to God working within us. All right, Christian healing, Christian faith for healing is not a prediction of what God will do. The very first scripture that we read with the nobleman's son, he was not a believer. He did not have faith in Jesus. And as we go through more and more of the miracle stories of Jesus' healing, we're going to find that a lot of times that faith comes after the fact. With the exception of this story, faith is center point. What we're going to talk about today is center point. But there will be people out there, maybe people in here who say, I didn't have enough faith, therefore God did not heal. Well, that's not true. The amount of faith you have does not say what God will or will not do. What we do is trusting. It is simple trust that God loves us and that God is at work in us and around us. All right, this is a biggie, y'all. Christian healing is not to be sought as a spiritual thrill for the healer or for the person in need. You don't enter into the healing ministry for the stars and spangles and sparkles. You just don't go there. And there are some people who go there because they may not realize it because they say, oh, I have a ministry. Let me pray for you. Christian healing is very serious. It is very powerful. And it is amazing to see what God does. So as a minister within Christian healing, I believe there always has to be a check on yourself. Why am I doing this? What's the need for this? And it should be a natural out. If you have the gift of spiritual healing, it will be a natural outflow of who you are. Of who you are. And it's also a way to grow as a Christian. The more you study God's Word, the more you worship Him, the more you're active within what God is calling you to do and be, you grow. You grow as a Christian. All right, Christian healing is not proof that we are faithful or holy, but it is a sign of God's love. It's not proof. It's just a sign of God's love. I love you. I'm restoring my people. I'm bringing you back. Understand that Christian healing is a process that involves all of who we are. It involves our body, mind, our emotions, our spirit, and our own social context. And which directs us toward becoming the person God is calling us to be at every stage of our living and our dying. Are you the same person that you were at 21?
No.
Those of you who have not reached 21, are you the same person you were when you were 12? No. We hope, we change, we grow, we're different, we see things in a different light. We gather, God, I mean, the school hard knocks changes a lot of things, doesn't it? We're not the same people. We grow and we change. And that should also be true in our relationship with God and our understanding of who He is and who we are in Him. As we know Him, there's still surprises, and that's what I love. There's still surprises, but as we know Him and as we grow, we change. So any ministry that you're involved in, and especially in healing, there is that spiritual growth. And we have to be truly open to God, and sometimes we're not. When we are open to Him, some type of healing will take place. Some type of healing will take place. I read a story where a nun had gone to a healing worship service, and she wanted to be healed because she couldn't hear. She was going deaf, and she wanted to be healed. And it's in Tilda Norberg's book, which I've quoted, have a quote here from Stretch Out Your Hand. And so Sister Mary went to this healing service to have her hearing healed, and she went away. They prayed for her. They laid hands on her. They anointed her. She just knew she was going to be able to heal. Well, what God healed was her big toe. You know, she had a really bad bunion or something of that effect, but it was really bothering her, hurting her. So that He healed her toe. And so she went back the next week to the healing service, said it didn't work. And they said, well, what was healed? She said, my toe. Well, let's do it again. And so they prayed for her again, laid hands on her, anointed her, prayed for her again. And then something else was healed. It was about the third or fourth time that her hearing was healed or restored. Missy, that's God heals what He wants to heal when He wants to heal it. If you go to Him for a specific condition and He doesn't heal it, look around, there's something else getting worked on. God will heal you in the manner in which He sees fit, at the time in which He sees fit. And that's what we need to keep in mind. See, that goes back to that magic deal. God is not our wishmaker. He's our Creator. He's our Father. He is the one who loves us and draws us to Him and gives us mercy and grace and wholeness. And so we have to trust Him in that, that He will do as is best for us. Something very, very important about healing is the body of Christ. We celebrate Holy Eucharist every single Sunday when we're here. And that is amazing. And it's a wonderful thing to do because in there, that is when we are the most complete. After we confess our sins and we come before God and we receive the bread and the wine, that is when we are the most complete. Eucharist, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, whatever name you call it, is crucial because it reminds us of the price that God paid for us and the love and grace He has for us to draw us to Him. If a God loves us that much, why wouldn't He want us to be whole? Why wouldn't He make us whole? So the celebration of the sacraments, partaking of the sacraments is very important. Eucharist, baptism, very, very important. You'll have to forgive me. I'm coming from a Methodist background here. In the Methodist Church, only baptism and Holy Communion are considered sacraments because that's what Jesus did in the Bible. But there's also others, holy matrimony, confirmation, holy unction. All of that is very, very important. The anointing of oil, holy unction, is incredibly important. Confession is incredibly important. All of the sacraments of the church lead us into fellowship with God. And if you're going to be in a ministry with God, then we need to be partaking of all of the sacraments that are available to us. And understand that Jesus heals, God heals, according to His purpose, His time, for each and every person. So, that is what Christian healing is and what it is not. Now, authority is really crucial, because when we give someone authority in our life, they kind of have some power over us, correct? In this scripture, could I have someone who reads, who can read loudly? Please read Matthew 9, 1 through 8. Volunteer, please. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Matthew 9, 1 through 8. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say that your sins are forgiven, or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Go to 9. As Jesus passed on...
That's good, that's good. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Where was he? Where was Jesus? Where was Jesus? He's at home. What did he get out of?
A boat.
What was he doing? What was he doing? Huh? Was he rowing the boat? Was he eating breakfast? What was he doing? He was teaching. Who was he teaching? Look at your book. Who was he teaching? Do I sound like a teacher? Who is he teaching? Come on. Not the disciples. The crowd. He was teaching a crowd. All right, now I want you to turn to Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. All right, once again. Yes, sir, would you please read?
A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat to the paralyzed man, was
Sound a little bit more familiar? What is the difference here? Where was Jesus in Mark? He was in Capernaum. All right, he was there. Was he outside on the mount at the lake, or where was he? He was in a house. He was in a house. All right, and so he was there. Now, we have a little bit more action in Mark. It goes into a little bit more description here. What happened here? He was teaching, and all of this was taking place, and then what happened? The friends lowered the guy from the roof, cut a hole in the roof. All right, so that's how would you be if you were the homeowner? You know, pardon?
Ask if
insurance. Does it, homeowner's insurance, it'll cover this. Right, right, uh-huh. All right, I need a volunteer, please, to read Luke 5, 17 through 26. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through 26.
On one of these days, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they sought to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Then Jesus perceived their questionings. He answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose before them and took up that on which he lay, and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today."
A little bit more information in Luke. A whole lot more information in Luke. We know that Jesus is indeed teaching, preaching. He is teaching, he's working with the Pharisees and the teachers in the law. They've come from Jerusalem, they've come from all around, from the villages of Galilee and Judea, and they have come there to that one place to listen, to hear what Jesus has to say, to be taught. They've come to this place for that specific purpose. It's kind of like going to an in-service, or you're going to go for a training, or you're just going to go out and you're attending a conference. You're going to see what's going on. You know, we do that today as well. But these are all learned men coming to see what's so hot about this guy called Jesus. They're coming to see what he has to say, coming to listen. I picture it in my mind, and you're in a huge auditorium, you have a lecturer, and they're giving all of these information, and people are taking notes, and they're whispering among themselves and wondering when they're going to have lunch. You know, all of this is taking place. The one thing in Luke that's not in the others is that the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. If you will look at, it is the very last sentence in verse 17, "And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick." None of the teachers, none of the Pharisees recognized that. No one saw it. No one saw it. Now, we have to assume that the reputation of Jesus has absolutely spread wide and far because of the sheer number of people who were there and the actions of the four men with their paralyzed friend. It was so crowded that these four men could not get into that house. So they probably took the stairs. I don't think they threw up ropes and climbed up the side of the wall. There were stairs up to the roof. And that was the way the houses were built. And so they climbed up the stairs to the roof. They're up there on the roof. And the only way to get in was to dig a hole through the roof down into the room where they were teaching. And what Jesus does here is that as the man have done this, in verse 20 he says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Friend, your sins are forgiven. And that's when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law sit up and take notice and say, that is blasphemy. How can you do that? And they were all thinking among themselves, and can't you just hear the buzz going across the room? And they're thinking and going with it. Two things I want you to understand. Truth is truth. There's a kind way to give truth. There's a harsh way to give truth. But truth is truth. Gossip and grumbling kill. Gossip and grumbling kill. And what we have here is with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Because what Jesus did is that he totally and completely bypassed the temple system. Totally and completely bypassed the temple system. There's no sacrifice given. Nothing was done. Nothing was done in the temple. The priest didn't have a job. And he out there in this house said, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, the guy's still not walking yet. Don't jump to walking yet because he's not there. His sins have been forgiven because of the paralyzed guy's faith or because of faith of his friends? The friend. Their faith is absolutely amazing faith. That's intercession. That's intercessory prayer. That's coming and bringing someone before the Lord. Have you ever prayed for someone to be healed? Prayed for someone to come to know God? Prayed for someone? That's intercession. And it's incredibly important. That person doesn't have to agree with you. That person doesn't have to even know you're doing it. But if you're praying for someone, God hears. Intercession. It's two things. It's your faith and your love being shared. You don't pray to change somebody so you'll like them better. Don't do that. But you pray for someone for their for who they are as a beloved child of God. The Pharisees and the law and the teachers begin to take Jesus to task. And, you know, they're talking among themselves or thinking these things. And Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And what in every single gospel account, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all refer to this as blasphemy. Who but God can forgive sins alone? You know, who but God? In the temple, priests forgave sins after all of the sacrifices were done. After all of that had taken place, the priests then would pronounce your sins are forgiven. But it was only God who could do that outside of the temple. And here Jesus is forgiving them. Have you ever been forgiven something absolutely horrible that you have done? You don't have to confess in here. But draw back to that time. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was 50 years ago. Who knows? But think about the physical effect that receiving that forgiveness had upon you. Often heard it described as this weight was lifted. My chest, I could breathe again. I could think about the future. Jesus had given this paralyzed man hope again, had lifted his sins off of him and saying, your sins are forgiven. God does that. He can make us whole and just like that. He does that. But my question to you is, how many times have you grabbed your sin back? How many times have you know you've been forgiven, that someone has forgiven you, but like a dog with a bone, you just won't let it go? It's kind of like that Geico commercial where the guy's standing next to his wife and he says, see, Geico even forgives. I hope I got the right company. You know, but see, that's the way it works. We pull it back. We think about it. Or we don't even go to God with it. And my question to you is this, who are you to tell God he cannot forgive you? Who are you, who am I, to tell God what he can and cannot do? That's what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were doing here. And we do it all the time. And that's where it goes back to authority. When we question the authority of God, we're telling him what he can and cannot do in our lives. And that's really important for us to understand. In this healing event, Jesus knows what they're thinking. And so he confronts them. And he refers to himself as the Son of Man. This is a phrase that was used in the book of Daniel, and it's referring to when Jesus comes again that second time and how he's going to be and how the Son of Man, he looks human, but he's not, and how everything is going to be restored. If you read the last chapter of Revelation, you'll see it. That's where it is. But Jesus came to restore, to bring back, to bring the people back into covenant with God the Father. And so he asks the people, which is harder to do? To say your sins are forgiven, which are just words, or to tell the man, pick up your mat and walk? Which is harder? Both. The man walking, the man who's paralyzed, he can't walk. Everybody in the room knows he can't walk. I mean, the roof was just dug through to get him down. And so he tells the man, take up your mat and go home. And that's what the man does. He immediately jumps up, picks up his mat, and he walks out of the room in front of everybody praising God. That's very important, praising God. Two things occur in these scriptures. The man's sins are forgiven, and he is healed physically, and he can walk. Please understand that sin and illness don't always go hand in hand. Please understand that. If you have a really, really bad cold, it doesn't mean that you're sinning. If you're paralyzed, it doesn't mean that you're sinning. If you have cancer, it doesn't mean if you're sinning. Sin and illness do not always go hand in hand, but sometimes, there is a connection. In the Gospel of John, with the man who is born blind, excuse me, his parents, the man who's born blind, his parents, his the Pharisees and teachers of the law, everybody said that man's blind because of what sins his parents committed, because he was born that way. And Jesus said, no sin on this man. It's for the glory of God. And then another time, the man by the pool, also in John, Jesus sees him in the temple after he's healed him, and he says, go, and he tells him not to sin or he'll be back in a worse condition. It varies. Sometimes our sins put us in a place where we're sick, but don't automatically assume that you are sinning and that's why it's punishment for your illness. Have you ever heard somebody tell a parent who has lost a child that it's because of something they've done? That's not it. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Authority is incredibly important. How much authority do we give God in our lives? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were questioning Jesus, and he showed them exactly who he was by what he said and by what he did. The man was healed physically, and his sins were also forgiven. Healing takes place when we trust, going back to what Christian healing is and is not, healing takes place when we trust that God is working within us. It may not be a huge miraculous event. It may occur over a long period of time. You just have to trust that God is indeed working in this. And the intercessory prayer, the faith of the four men who lowered their friend down to be in front of Jesus, look what they went through. They jostled with the crowds. They were carrying this litter with this man upon it. They worked their ways up the side of the stairs. They dug a hole in their roof. Look at all that they went through to get him in front of Jesus. Intercessory prayer is hard work. And some people have that gift, and some people are called to it. It's not just, oh, Lord, heal my husband, you know, or, oh, Lord, make my wife be nicer. It's not that. Intercessory prayer is where you go to your knees and you go before the Lord and you lift someone up to them. And in the healing ministry, there are some people who will stand in the gap for an individual who is ill. And when you put yourself in that place where you pray for them and have others pray over you for that person because you were holding them up. Faith is incredibly important here. Give God the authority he deserves. Be careful how you talk among yourselves, like that can't, you know, gossip and griping, it'll get you every time. Be careful. And understand that healing is real and forgiveness is amazing. Forgiveness is amazing. Do y'all have any stories you'd like to share about, or any questions about what we've covered this morning? Yes, sir.
Well, I would like to share another story.
Okay.
It's on forgiveness. On this restoring the foundation, I attended it, and I had an episode in my life back, I guess it probably was 20 years ago, that I was fired, I felt like unjustly. Mm-hmm. And I had resentment against that man for all of those years. And I went through this restoring the foundation, and at the end of it, I said, I think I can truly forgive him. And like you said, it was like a ton of weight had all of a sudden been released from my body. And all of a sudden, all of the requests I had made, God said, I can now grant them. Because you have forgiven him, I can now forgive you. It was just a tremendous experience.
Yes, it is. What's that prayer we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us
our trespasses,
our sins, as we
forgive.
Well, there you go. Okay. Anyone else have a comment they would like to make? I'll turn it over to Father Chuck.
All right.
Thank you, Sue. As I reflect on this, some of what Sue was sharing earlier, you know, just triggered in my mind that, you know, I really do want him to heal it the way I want it healed. Right? You know, I mean, but it's important for us to remember that the Lord, he loves us, and he's concerned with the bigger picture in our life and our witness in the world. And you remember, you know, Paul himself had some affliction. We don't know exactly what it was, but he'd gone to the Lord about it. I mean, and the Lord told him no. You know, strength is made perfect in you, in your weakness. And so there was important there. And you think of how many saints, I think of, Johnny Tata, thank you. Think about that, you know, her experience, and how the Lord has used her. And there are people like her who say, you know, I hated this, but the Lord has used it mightily. It's been really a big part of my life. I wouldn't have, you know, wished him to answer it otherwise. We just don't know. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. What we do know is he's got the power and the authority. He loves us. He's able to do it, and he calls us to bring it to him. His key object in our lives is sozo. You know what that is? Salvation. Actually, the word could be translated wholeness. And so salvation is more than just granting us eternal life in the kingdom to come. It has to do with the wholeness he's bringing to us and ultimately fulfilled in the kingdom. But he begins that process in us right now as we're saved. We come into that relationship with him, and he is working in us to bring us into the likeness of his son. And he's going to do that with us in different ways, isn't he? So I think I'm preaching to me here. You know, don't be discouraged to pray because the Lord might answer it differently. Pray knowing that he's going to do something good, whatever it is, and keep your eyes out for that. And then we need to bear witness, and that's a big part of the testimony as well. It's just remarkable in that passage today, you know, the teaching that came out of even the sequence of events. And the sequence can be different as well with the Lord. You don't put him in a box. So what's our lesson? Don't put the Lord in the box. Remember, he is the king. He's the great physician. He can do it. And he wants to work in our lives. And he wants us to intercede as we come before his throne of grace. So let's be such a praying people. All right, thanks again, Sue. I look forward to the lesson next week. Would you please stand with me and let's pray. Standing. Lord, be with you. Lord, we thank you that you sent your son and that he demonstrated for us to witness who you are. And we know you are the one who loves. You are the author of love. And so everything you do is from love. You are not some capricious father who just decides willy-nilly here or there to do this or that. But rather, you, the Almighty, and knowing us, work in our lives in ways that will accomplish the greatest good in our life. We ask that for us, Lord, you would continue that work, that we would become more and more like your son. And so as he carried out his ministry, may we as the body of Christ carry out that ministry. He told us that greater things than these will you do because I go to the Father. So he sent his spirit to be upon us and within us that we might live and walk in his name. So more and more, let us be such a people, Lord, just trusting who you are and acting in obedience, carrying out the good news of sozo to the world. And we ask this in Jesus' name.